New Year's resolutions always seem to focus on getting healthy or fit, but what about getting organized? Maybe the weight you want to lose is all that dead weight in your closet. Enter the new year with resolutions to declutter and retake control of your space. Smart Labels is here to help. Smart Labels helps people organize and find their stuff in storage around the house or in a self-storage unit. Their QR code stickers pair with the Smart Labels app so you can put a sticker on a plastic bin, catalog everything going in, and a year down the road when you're looking for that specific thing, all you have to do is search the app. It's that easy with Smart Labels. Make a smart New Year's resolution this year. Shop Smart Labels QR code sticker packs on Amazon today and lose the extra weight in your closet. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Reed.
I'm Annie.
Annie and Reed. It's been a few weeks since it's been the two of us on the mic. How are you doing?
I'm great. Dynamic duo we are. I'm so excited to be here. I am still recovering from Madonna last night, simply made me pass away. I mean, it was honestly iconic.
I'm honestly
so
jealous. Yeah. How was it?
You guys, the low amount of hype that I have seen about this tour has been shocking to me since last night. Like, I didn't even know she was in town, which is like honestly criminal to me. I don't know, but
didn't her tour, got canceled because she was sick. And so I think of this is rescheduled dates.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard that when she first started the tour before it got canceled, it had bad reviews or whatever. So maybe COVID or her getting sick was the best thing that could have ever happened, because she came back out swinging, bitch. It was so amazing. And it was honestly like, it was the Eras tour, but Madonna.
That's like, the thing. I was saying that this year is the year of like greatest hits tours for like some of the biggest name artists of our time, because like Beyonce, Taylor, and Madonna all sort of at the same time had tours that like went through all of their, like, to use Taylor's term, eras. I don't know. I think Taylor might have been, you know, listen, I'm Hive over here, but I might have to give it to Miss Blondie. I think Taylor announced the Eras tour first, and she called it the Eras tour. Like, it was clearly a theme of her eras. Beyonce's Renaissance tour was for a new album,
she does every era,
but
I love that.
It was like a celebration of where Beyonce has been and where she is now.
Yeah.
And I think Madonna announced the Celebration tour, which Celebration was the name of her greatest hits album that came out when I was in high school. And there's a song, a bonus track on there called Celebration. It's so good.
I'm just thinking, Celebrate.
There's like, okay, got you. There's like, it's like a very, you know, EDM era, like.
Yeah.
But I love it. And this last summer, she was supposed to be at Wrigley Field, which I live a few blocks away from here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to see her. And then she got the black lung or whatever.
So here's the thing. Like, the thing that was crazy was that, like, I will say there were many moments like during the concert where I was like, wow, that was very Lady Gaga coded. Like, it was like, she came out with like, she changed wigs multiple times, which was so fucking fierce, but she came out in this outfit that was like with these like sun, these like huge glasses and like long, long, long straight blonde hair. And it was like very Lady Gaga. And then there was this moment where it was like very much Reputation tour from Taylor Swift, where she plays all these clips of people talking shit about her, like on the big screen, like in a transition, which like Taylor did that. And then she had a moment that was like very Beyonce to me. And then there was like, I was like thinking to myself, I was like, you know what? But she came before all of them, so I can even talk shit, because it was like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, it's like, honestly, like she Madonna inspired all of these artists to do
and
these
she things. She ain't no spring chicken either.
Uh-huh. So I don't even, like, I can't, you can't, I mean, it's just because that's what we've seen more recently. But like, the thing is like, she was Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga was born. So, you know, it was just kind of.
I was going to say, I'm a little monster down, okay? Lady Gaga like helped me realize I was gay when I heard I want to go out on your disco stick. I felt something strange that never went away. And here I am today. But I will say, during COVID, I did all these like album, these artist deep dives of like great artists that I've just somehow like never listened to all their stuff. Like I might be able to tell you a single here or there, or like recognize a song if it played, but I might not know it's their song, or I might not know the name. Madonna was one of those artists for me. Like I obviously know her here and there, but she has a very long, like I think she has like 18 albums or like 16, yeah. She has a lot of albums. So I went back and did a chronological Madonna deep dive. It was so phenomenal. And honestly, as a little monster, I was kind of like, wait, I get why Madonna was fucking pissed at Gaga when she came on the scene, because Gaga even says this, so it's no shade, but Gaga is heavily influenced by Madonna. And while I do think Gaga did some things better and even some things unique that Madonna did not do, I think like even hearing some of the music, and Madonna loved to chant in her song. She would chant like, and then Gaga starts like doing these like chants, you know, like,
yeah,
like it's very like you feel a lot of the similar vibe. So all love to Lady Gaga, and I hope she comes back to music soon. But yeah, Madonna did it first. And yeah, Madonna is the original pop star, kind of, alongside, I guess, like Michael Jackson and Janet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it was just wild because you're so right. I mean, I remember watching Lady Gaga's documentary, 5'2" or whatever. And she talked about being in a feud with Madonna. And it was like, she didn't say this, but I felt it like in the undertones of like, that was really rough for her, because she was like, oh my gosh, this person was my idol. Like, she inspired me and now she's mad at me. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I was just thinking the whole entire time. Oh, and then she said that Madonna called her reductive. And I remember just thinking this whole entire time being like, imagine though. Yes, that must hurt a little bit growing up having her your idol. But imagine though, growing up and becoming so famous that you have a feud with Madonna. Like, that is so fucking cunty. Like, I was like, at least you're feuding with
Madonna. And then years later, after the Met Gala or after Fashion Week, one of the two, they were all at an after party together, her, Katy Perry, and Madonna, and they took a really cunty photo together, and it shut the internet down, because it was like, even Gaga and Katy had all these like feud rumors, you know? Yeah. Okay. To Bravo, though.
Sorry, I could talk all day.
From Madonna. Real quick, housekeeping notes, guys. So for the holidays coming up, we're taking some much-needed time off, but don't worry. We actually recorded a couple of bonus episodes earlier this week. Maddie, Zach, Annie, and myself. You guys are going to fucking howl. And I cannot wait for you to hear these episodes. And they're coming out. We're going to put one out next week and one out like shortly after Christmas, I think. And then stay tuned toward the end of the year. We might have one final episode where we might talk more about Roni Legacy that just dropped. And that would be our 50th episode in 2023. So we are so close to 50 episodes. That's insane. Give it up for my girl Annie and everybody else in the It's About Bravo fam.
And yeah, I just want to mention that like these episodes that we recorded are not time sensitive. They are like about the whole.
You'll treasure them forever.
It's not gonna be like a discord really in like what you're listening to. It's not gonna feel like it was recorded. Like you're listening to it live.
It's honestly like our version of Big Brother's reindeer games is essentially what we just did. We did some reindeer games, and y'all are gonna enjoy them. Also, there are brand new episodes on our Patreon. Zach and Maddie just did one on Married to Medicine, their newest season. They covered the first 5 episodes. I've been watching this 6th episode this week. Oh my God, that fight had me on the edge of my fucking seat. Annie, I know you don't watch. We're going to force you to watch it over the holidays, but go subscribe. Link in our bio. And with that, let's get into...
That's my opinion!
Okay, real quick, my opinion segment today, guys. We had some major fucking shit drop this week. Trailers on trailers, shows on shows. Let's start, Annie, with the Vanderpump Rules season 11 trailer that came out. Let's play a quick clip.
If I can survive what I thought was the worst case scenario, then I can do anything.
All the doors are open for you.
If I don't want to be around my ex, I literally don't have to. I'll just keep existing like I normally do in my own house.
Why are they living together anyway? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
this season on Vanderpump Rules.
That's Ariana's side.
Sandoval's side over here.
Don't go over the line.
For your own good, you gotta get out and start dating people again. I'm
young, hot, single, ready to mingle.
The worm is worming.
If you're gonna be friends with him, she's gonna cut you off.
Whoa, stop, stop. Hey, what are we doing?
Now you're proving to me that you are terrifying.
I think Tom's still in love with Raquel.
She's blocked you.
It's over.
Bullshit.
My lawyer will be dealing with you, the house, and my children.
Your children?
I have never experienced someone who gets cheated on and suddenly she becomes God.
Annie, thoughts?
You guys, I'm so excited. I mean, I'm not so dumb, though, to ever get my hopes up as if it will ever, ever, ever live up to the last season. It's not going to happen. So don't anyone think that. You're going to go in with that expectation. You're going to get disappointed. Okay.
You go ahead. I was just going to say, see, Atlanta season 10 was so, I just finished, was so fucking good. And then 11 was still honestly pretty good. It wasn't as good. But I listen, it is possible to have a strong following season, maybe not as good.
It's not possible with this because Scandoval, like, it's not like you can't recreate that. My mind is like this. I'm like, some people who are like, oh my gosh, this reinvigorated the show and now we're going to have blah, 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 blah. But I'm like, I'm saying to you guys, like, okay, that was a once in a lifetime thing. And like, it's not going to be as good as it was last season, but it's going to be really good. And I think the thing I was thinking about earlier is that like there's cheating scandals all the time on Bravo, right? But most shows on Bravo are like Housewives, where it's the husband is like not a main cast member. And that is why it was so special on this show. Oh, by the way, also, normally, not only is the husband not the main cast member, the mistress is also not a main cast member. That's why it was so special on this show, was because it was like, oh my gosh, the
it's all main, right in front of you.
They're all main cast members. So we know them. Yeah. So it's like, that's why it's like, it's so insane that all happened. And like just the, you know, the finale alone, like having them pick up cameras back again, like all of this stuff was just so iconic, but we're going to, you know, continue talking about all of that, which I'm really excited about. And there were some really great moments. I mean, there was a couple moments that I felt were kind of patronizing to us as viewers. I saw one moment that I clocked. I'll just tell you guys right now that they tried to fool us. It was a moment where Ariana was throwing a drink, and I actually know, I just clocked it. That's actually her shooting the cover for her cocktails book. It's not her throwing a drink at anyone's face. So like that I clocked. And then I also clocked one thing. I'm just going to call it right now. Sheena making out with Tom Schwartz in Vegas. I'm clocking it for sure happened like 10 years ago when they all first met, and they're making a big deal out of it now. And I saw a comment with Sheena saying, oh, it's not what you think, but tune in. And I'm like, Sheena, I think it's exactly what I fucking think. So just prepare yourself for those things. But other than that, oh my gosh. I mean, Lala saying, you can say, read, what did Lala say at the end?
She basically said, what did she say? It was like, I've never seen someone who was cheated on become God.
But I've never experienced someone who gets cheated on and suddenly she becomes God.
Like she's yes. Clearly, she's turning on Ariana. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I totally hear everything you're saying, Annie. I have a little bit more hope, only because I just watched Atlanta seasons 10 and 11 and even 12. I'm on 12 now, but 10 was amazing. 11 was just a little bit underneath that, but still amazing. I really hope that that's true for Vanderpump's 10 and 11.
Mm-hmm. Yes, also, I agree.
You know, Raquel being off definitely like changes things a little bit because
but she doesn't actually have a place there.
But I also would say, you know, like there have been characters in other shows on Bravo who they were pivotal one season and then they bow out, and the fallout is still so interesting. And there's new players. Like we have Allie now more full time. It looks like James Kennedy's girl. There's a lot of like shifting, moving pieces in this dynamic. And I also think like Erica Jane, that went on for like three seasons. Like there was the season of the scandal, the fallout season where she didn't give back the earrings. And now this season, she's finally kind of like finding her Gandhi and like changing. Like it took three seasons to do this story arc of Erica. I think they totally have runway to still talk about Scandoval and the fallout of it. It's only the year after. So I think that they probably have into season 12 for like pieces of the scandal to still be kind of like prominent in the story. Last thing I'll say, is that they had a really rough season 8 and 9, and especially season 8, they tried to put a lot of randos in there and inject new life, and it didn't work. What I think they figured out now is that the core works. And so even without all the players of Scandoval on camera, I think that the core of this group is going to work.
Yeah. I really do agree with you though. I think that it's going to be amazing. I was just saying, it's not going to be like as good or better than last season, but it's going to be really, really great. And you're right. They're going to continue to talk about it. And we're going to see the story arcs go with, you know, Sheena perhaps kind of making up with Tom Sandoval. And one thing we know about the Vanderpump cast is that they're going to forgive people for some really fucked up shit. They've done it before. Every season they'll do it again. Like it's like somehow it's Tom Sandoval is going to find his way back into this cast. And it's like, it shouldn't happen, but it's going to, and we're going to be able to watch them interact, and it's going to be amazing.
You know, we'll get into the Salt Lake recap, but it's giving like Lisa at Meredith's throat in that dinner scene. And then immediately after, they're all like chill, getting on the bus together. Like these people will stab each other and then give each other a hug. It's crazy. In the world of trailers, there was another bomb trailer that came out today as we record Thursday. The Traitors US season 2 on Peacock. Quick clip here.
Oh, Lord, help me get through this game.
Everyone's a liar.
I can't be trusted.
I'm trying to win.
She's a stone cold killer.
It's just gossip. I think she could be banished.
This is some bull.
Ooh, this is getting intense.
Welcome to an all-new season of Strategy, Betrayal, Sabotage, and Murder. With higher stakes.
Alan's dropping another bombshell.
This guy is the Silent Slaughterer.
Diabolical twist.
She's the traitor?
Why would I want to murder her boyfriend?
Come on!
Hurry, go, go, go!
And a killer all-celebrity cast.
People keep throwing the housewives out there as traitors. I don't think they've got it in them.
This is not The Bachelor. And I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose.
Annie, do you watch The Traitors? Did you watch it?
Yes, I loved it.
Okay, perfect. So this cast is even more star-studded than well, obviously, the last cast.
I think they knew that
the last cast had normals.
It, yeah.
And they were like, no more normals.
Yes. But... that one normal was so fun to watch. That guy with the curly hair. What was his name?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember names.
Oh, God. But he was fucking great.
Yeah. Mo was saying today he thinks that Sheree will be like one of the first to go, which I think is very spot on. Sheree can't lie for shit. Like she loves to lie, but yeah. Sheree is bad at lying.
And she wasn't in the trailer that much.
Exactly. I think you know what? It's giving House of Villains all the trailers featuring Tiffany Pollard. She was in like one or two outfits total, and they were all confined scenes. And then it's like, oh, I get it, because she got eliminated in the third fucking episode. Spoiler alert, sorry. We'll do a Patreon on that too when it's finally done. If it's done, I need to catch up. The Traitors is seriously one of the best like reality competition shows I've ever seen. It's like new, at least to the US. They've really got something awesome here with all, not even just Bravo Lebs. It's not like Ultimate Girls Trip. It's not just one type of reality star. You've got Bling Empire, Love Island US, Love Island UK. They have a boxer. They have a member of British Parliament in there. They've got Housewives. They've got a Shah of Sunset. I'm literally just rattling up. They have Big Brother. They have Survivor. They have The Bachelor. They have The Challenge. Johnny Bananas. Like, he just came off of House of Villains. Like, he is booked and fucking busy. They have so many people.
Reed, Peppermint.
How did I forget Peppermint?
God, homophobic.
Drag Race. Like, they have a drag queen on this season.
A drag queen.
Fucking incredible. And Peppermint, I believe, is a trans woman. So they also have a trans woman on this fucking cast. That's incredible. Okay. I will say that let's take a little bet here. So there's four housewives on this cast. There's two from Atlanta, Miss Phaedra Parks, Sheree Whitfield, one from OC, Tamra Judge, and one from Miami. It's Larsa!
And Larsa's boyfriend.
Marcus Jordan, because you know what? You know what's funny? Because if you're watching Miami right now, you know that this bitch can't go anywhere without her boyfriend. She was like, can we bring our boyfriends to the trip?
Yes.
And she's like, no, bitch, it's a girl's trip. She literally can't go anywhere without him. She can't go pee without him. Of course, she probably put it in her fucking contract with NBC.
He said no. He's coming with.
Like, if you're bringing my double wide ass, you're bringing my boyfriend Marcus Jordan's as well.
What I really hope is that she gets voted off and he stays for like 12 months.
Okay, here's what I kind of hope, because I want Larsa to be one of the three traitors. And the reason I want that is that if Larsa is not selected as a traitor, she's the kind of bitch that I feel like she's going to pull a Bowie Jane.
Fucking Bowie Jane.
And she's going to sit on the sidelines of this competition. She's going to be like, no, I don't know anything. What are you talking about? And she's going to be super chill. She's going to be all over fucking Marcus Jordan, climbing him like a fucking tree. And meanwhile, we're going to have Tamra Judge and Phaedra Parks, two of the best pot stirrers. And I don't know if Tamra's a liar, but Phaedra lies enough for the both of them.
Well, Tamra's a liar. What are you talking about?
What if they picked all housewives? They won't. But like, if the traitors were Larsa, Tamra, and Phaedra.
a lot of times what I feel like, a lot of times I'm saying, I'm basing this off of one season, but I feel like they won't go with like that kind of obvious, most famous choice because it's almost too obvious. And like, for instance, like Brandy went really quickly. Kate Chastain, they all guessed her, but she wasn't it. Like, and so I think that everyone's going to guess kind of the most famous person because they're going to kind of think that they, you know, that the show is going to want the most famous person to be doing it, but that's not where they go. So like, I don't know about the housewives. There could only be one tops, honestly, in my mind, to be a traitor. But I also just thought about this. Hold up. Wait a minute. Think about it. What if Marcus Jordan got chosen to be a traitor and Larsa wasn't, and he had to fucking lie to her the entire time?
Oh, that would be relationship ending. This would have repercussions into season 7 of Miami next year.
I would love that. Could you do that? I couldn't do that. But I think that Marcus could.
for a bag? Sure. So yeah, we've got great trailers this week, great shows coming up. And speaking of great shows, we don't have the ability and time to cover it tonight, but Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season 4. It was season 5. Now it's season 4. Roni Legacy. First 3 episodes on Peacock. I've seen the first episode. Annie, I think you've seen some as well.
I watched all of them. I had to binge it, girl. I mean, they just kept popping up and I said, okay, I'm gonna pull
Annie right now and say, no spoilers. Don't tell me. But I thought the first episode was fucking solid. Kristen Takeman is taking it. She is the girl that ruffles all their feathers, especially the old bird, Dorinda.
The great thing is after we put on pause or whatever it
here
was.
We go.
Well, you got fired. I was put on pause. Okay, so let's just be clear.
Let's be positive here.
After you got fired and I was put on pause.
Well, let's be clear. We're both on the same show right now. Yeah. So call it fired, call it pause.
And I also think it's interesting that Kelly Bensimone, who has a lisp now somehow, is like,
it's the lip fillers.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't remember that back in the day.
Well, Brandy Glanville. Hello. Oh, hello. Hello.
Oh yeah. Different. Kelly, at least in the first episode, guys, you know, you've got your core four. You've got Luann, Sonia, Ramona, and Dorinda. And then you've got these two kind of like free agents, Kelly Bensimone and Kristen Takeman. And I feel like Kristen came here and was like excited. And I feel like Kelly is trying to be the more dominant free agent. She's siding with Dorinda. She's coming after Kristen. I'll stop right there, but I'm living for the show. And he's like rolling her eyes at me. So I'm guessing that means
I just have a lot of thoughts. It's so crazy, the whole show. But I think that they should change Kristen's last name to Taking Them.
He's taking it. And I'm obsessed with the intro music. It's always interesting in the first season when they were like Housewives in the Island, baby. I thought the last season, the Thailand music was really good. It was like traditional Thai music, but then mixed with like trap beat and very like updated and modern. And I feel like this intro music for Roni Legacy is like, it has elements of old school Roni's intro, but then it's also mixed with this like modern feel. I don't know. I'm very much into it.
Madonna inspo too, I thought.
Okay. Well, you know who did it before Madonna? Countess Luann. But yeah.
She wishes. No, Madonna. Actually, wait. No, Luann takes a lot of inspo from Madonna. Be real. I'm serious.
It's actually the other way around, but okay. I digress. Let's get into our recaps for the week. We're going to start by heading to the mysterious and chaotic Bermuda for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
You've never talked to anybody about any of these things. You've never had one conversation about any of these things.
I've never had a conversation where I have said anything of that nature about you.
Are you kidding? This is boldface bullshit happening right here. We did have that conversation. We did talk about her being in the Greek.
I did not say that.
Yes, we did. Let's just own it. You know what else we heard? Thanks to some DMs that were sent to me on Instagram, which is also very strange. You owe $170,000 to the IRS.
I don't. Who was saying that?
I got DMs sent to me on Instagram.
Interesting. Monica said that after you called her and told her to look in her DMs, suddenly after your conversation, that some documents appeared from a fake account. Tell him, Monica.
You called me one night. You said, did you get a DM from so-and-so account? I got one. I go and I look. Lo and behold, it's all there. I don't know who this person is, but I know who everyone thinks it is.
Well, it's not me.
I'm really not suspicious.
Okay, so this episode had everything. It had a birthday party. It had a Sprinter van and a dramatic moment in and out of one. It had old allies or old enemies becoming allies. It had a pawn being used to turn a rumor. It had a ridiculous fucking crazy rumor. It had funny editing with Angie K on the float. And most importantly, it had an iconic dinner table fight that will be. Oh, and it had a costume party because it wouldn't be funnier unless they were at the dinner table dressed as pirates with Monica with a Sharpie drawn goatee around her fucking mouth.
And yeah, you're right. You just named like every single housewives trope. And you forgot them. Also that they did the thing too, where they play a quote game at the dinner table.
Game.
Whitney goes, we got to stop playing games. And I'm like, oh, Whitney, you just learned that.
So me and my friends had a Friendsgiving a few weeks ago, and I'm actually heading tonight to a Secret Santa with them. I hope we don't play this game tonight. A few weeks ago at Friendsgiving, we played the shadiest fucking game, and it caused divisions in the circle.
And you know what, Reed? I'm disappointed that was not your idea.
Have you guys ever heard of the game Paranoia? You go in a circle. Annie, if you were to my left, I would whisper in your ear and I'd say, who do you think has the lowest IQ in the room? And no one knows what I asked you. And you're like, Zach and Matt. Or you go, Zach. And Zach's like, what? What did you pick me for? I want to know. He's paranoid. You guys play rock, paper, scissors. If you win, you never have to tell him what I asked you. He has to sit there and wonder what you picked him for. But if he wins, you have to tell him that I asked you who has the lowest IQ and you picked him. This game got shady. Someone was like, oh, someone goes, who here has their worst relationship with their parents? And the person that guy asked was like, oh, that's easy, Colin, and points at my friend Colin. It was so funny, but at the same time, Colin kept getting picked for things. I feel so bad for Colin. Shout out to Colin. It was his birthday yesterday. But those are the kind of games that housewives play, okay?
That sounds really fun and mean and horrible. So you're telling me right now that if y'all would have been like, oh, Annie is the answer, then I would have had to sit around there and guess what I'm horrible at.
Okay, so I got picked.
Okay, so did you guys say that I'm the bitchiest or did you guys say that I was the palest? Like, what's going on?
Someone picked me for surprisingly high body count. Surprisingly high, as in... Oh, I wouldn't think
Reed, shut the fuck up. That's like a brag at this point compared to the other things you were saying.
Oh, there were plenty of worse ones that I'm not speaking into the mic.
Okay.
I share this story because I was with some of those friends watching Salt Lake. And when Whitney goes, we shouldn't play games anymore. I truly, we all with each other, we were like, that was us the other night. Like, we should never play that game again for the sake of our.
This is what they do, and it never makes any sense, but it always creates good TV. But I always
Do you trust the least?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
Probably the best Housewives game I've ever heard.
Let's play a game of everyone just go around the circle and say who they hate the most. Like, basically, just say that. Honestly, I actually was watching
warm and fuzzy, cold and prickly. Yeah. Like the same group. They love a messy dinner table. Yeah. Okay, guys. Like this season and this show, this is the top tier television. This is so fucking good. And this episode continued to deliver. So backing up a bit, it's Monica's birthday. Did I hear it correctly? This is her 30th? Like she entered 30 or was she like, or
wow.
I don't know if I'm getting that wrong.
I missed that part, but I'm sad.
I don't know if I'm getting, yeah, same. They were like, you're officially middle-aged. I was like, oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, okay. I mean, I had a palm reader tell me that I was going to die at 60. So I am middle-aged right now at 32, but like, that's not normal for most people.
That's so fucked up that someone told you that. And I don't say that out loud again. I feel like you're speaking it into existence. I feel like
I'm middle-aged now.
You're literally putting your own name in a shrine, which
is okay. Cause I'm giving myself, I'm giving myself permission to go through a midlife crisis whenever I goddamn feel. Okay. And so I'm going to go
in Jesus Christ's name, fire and thunder.
That's my right. And I'm going to buy a sports car tomorrow because I'm in my midlife crisis. Get with it.
So Heather is leading the decorating of Monica's like little balcony. And I thought it was a really cute scene. Really like Monica was clearly so moved that these ladies who a lot have not accepted her, or, you know, she's beefed with, like they all like did this thing for her. I really felt for Monica this whole episode, but starting with this scene, I was like, you know, she doesn't have things like this in her life. So this was really cool to see. And it was cool to see Heather and Whitney make up too. Although at first it felt a little not real. But
I thought that Whitney was being super real.
Oh,
I
think for sure. Really for sure. Yeah.
I think that here's my thing on these types of shows or just in real life, when you know that there's certain people that maybe it's hard for them to apologize or admit that they were wrong and they don't normally do that. When they do that, I do think, I mean, I get it. I mean, whatever, make people work for it, sure. But like at the same time, if it's someone who you were not expecting to apologize or they don't normally do that so quickly, when they really come to you, if you know that that's tough for them to apologize and admit they were wrong and they do admit they were wrong pretty quickly, by the way, too. I mean, not even, you know, 12 hours had passed. I think you should accept the apology and be kind of more nice about it and say, okay, we can move on because it was so genuine, clearly. So if you do that apology that was to me very genuine, and then the first thing Heather says is like, and just don't let it ever happen again. I think in that moment I would have been like, okay, wow, okay, thank you for saying that. You obviously were on one last night, you didn't mean it, like let's move on. Like, but she really did not choose to take that route. She was like, yeah, okay,
you know,
like, and just don't let it ever happen again.
I said to my friends, like, Heather has sort of parlayed herself into like a head bitch role this season. Like, she used to be the meek sidekick and she's kind of got all the ladies like at least treating her as a peer now. And my friend G actually said, I think all four of the original women respect each other like eye to eye. Like I think that they hold themselves higher. And I mean, they should. They're the core. But Heather does feel like she has a newfound confidence. And even with her beef with Monica that we get into later in the episode, it feels like it's actually a reaction to how Jen bullied her and treated her. And she associates Monica with Jen. And so when Monica and her get into an argument or something, or Monica comes on really strong, I feel like Heather goes to this place where she's like, I'm not going to let myself be treated this way by another Jen Shah. And she lashes out back. I feel like she's sort of her voice, even in her confessional. She's like making me laugh and she looks good. I love that you're the stylist, that blue. Yeah. That she's wearing the baby blue. It looks so good on her. And she does look good.
I mean, that's a good color on her. I just think it's a little bit, you know, I don't know, prom dress-ish, I guess. I think that it looks, I think it's like actually, I think she actually might have worn that exact dress like in one of her little twirl things. Like it feels more like I can tell it's a gown. You know, it kind of feels weird to me when people are wearing like a full-length gown to sit down and do an interview. I know it's an interview, but still.
I don't think I'm talking about a gown. Mine was like a baby blue. She had like a polo, like a white collar at the top.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay.
Boarding school, like.
Yeah, I love that look. Absolutely. I was thinking.
I thought she looked so good in that.
She had another baby blue look as well. So that's why I was confused. No, I love.
Oh, yeah, she does.
I love her little business casual moments that she's starting to have now more later. Because you're right. Because that's a more recent confessional look. The first like confessional look was like a gown. And like, so this one makes more sense. It's like a button up with a little tie. It's very cute. It's very like Monica Lewinsky. Ooh, jizz on my face. Yeah, no, I liked it. I think that like, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but I agree with her when she stands up to Monica. Like I always felt like, I don't think she's like projecting and being like, well, I should have stood up to Jen. So now I'm doing this with Monica. When she stands up to Monica, it kind of makes sense. And then she also goes back to being nice to her later and forgiving her. But like in the times that she's had to put her foot down, I think that I'm with her on that one.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into the whole asking about your child's sex life thing later.
I'm not talking about that.
I definitely think Monica was.
That's not what I was referring to.
Well, that's what they fought about. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
Oh, because yeah. Well, that's like one of many. But yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like just all the way back this whole season. I just think that.
I haven't really seen Heather fight with Monica that much before this episode. They have before.
Not fight, but just check her a little bit. Like at the churning butter.
Yeah, she did.
She said, hey, wait, you're being really weird. Like, what happened to like the fun Monica?
Well, that was the episode where Heather was like, she reminds me of Jen. And that just pissed me off because I just don't agree. And I think that they're all kind of painting her as that person. However, we'll get into it.
Does not remind me of Jen at all. That's wrong.
So before like the sort of trip goes on, Monica sort of pulls, is it Lisa to the side? And she's kind of like, hey. Just want to let you know, like, I want to bounce something off you. She is, okay, I love Monica to death. She's definitely a doe-eyed Bambi in this first season of hers of Housewives. Does not realize that Meredith just gave her a little salt lick and told her to run along with it and take it elsewhere. And here she is dropping it in the palms.
No, I think you're doe-eyed.
Okay, all right, damn.
Yeah. I think Monica knows exactly what's going on here. And she's just playing like, oh, wait, did she set me up? Was I not supposed to just like
I'm not doing this with you all night, bitch. Like, listen.
What?
I'm Monica Nation over here. She's the people's princess.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. You don't get this. I'm saying she's a smart fucking housewife and she's smart and she knows what she's doing and she's mixing up. It's a good thing. It's a compliment.
I get you, Annie. I'm politely disagreeing. I think she did nothing fucking wrong. Anyways.
I don't think she did anything wrong. I think she did everything right. I will say for her, she's nothing like Jen Shaw, by the way, but I will say for Monica's own sake, I think that she needs to do some research on how the mafia works because I mean, ever heard stitches get stitches? Like, girl, she's been talking a lot about the mafia. You don't know that you might be sleeping with the fishes soon, okay? You don't go around talking about the mafia that much.
So in the Bermuda Triangle where things go missing a lot. And, you know, Heather Gay on another cast trip woke up with a black eye. Who knows what could happen on this cast? She basically tells Lisa that Meredith, like, is spilling the beans about Angie K and all these tax issues, blah, 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 blah. They cut, the editors are so funny for this. They're like talking about her being in the Greek mafia and it's interspliced with Angie K, who is so tiny with these gigantic visor sunglasses on her face. Like truly like insanely large. They get larger every time. Like the camp counts or no, the sheriff hat on Scary Movie 3 that just keeps getting bigger every time I look. And it's just so funny. There's no way Angie K's in the mafia. Right? Right?
I don't know, but if she is, I think Monica should shut the fuck up. I'm worried for her life. Okay. The thing with Angie's sunglasses are this. I think we actually mentioned this with Monica getting her like white Louis Vuitton bag. If you're gonna get something that's designer and you're not gonna have like a ton of different like things of it, like if you're not gonna have like a bunch of designer sunglasses and you're gonna have like one pair you wear over and over again, let it not be super noticeable because it's weird how often she wears these big pink glasses, like ski
there's
glasses.
So many, no, and even
and she Heather's wears them out, all the time.
And then Heather's outfit this episode, someone said Renaissance by Sheen, but I also thought it was giving you've been hanging around Angie K too much, girl. Those sunglasses, that dress or whatever you want to call it. The girls, so the girls get dressed, they get ready, they go jet skiing, and afterward, I think they were supposed to meet Monica's like Bermudan family that she had never met.
No, I think she was supposed to be going there while they were jet skiing. No,
I thought they went jet skiing, and then afterward, she got the text, so she was just like really upset.
Right. Yeah. So going back a little bit, or not going back, I guess talking about this right now. I was shocked that Monica's mom did not show up to therapy. At first I was not shocked because I just thought, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Cameras there.
Don't act shocked.
No, there's no cameras there. Like, why would she show up? She was obviously just doing that for the cameras. But then when I found out there was going to be cameras there and Monica's mom did not show up, then I was very shocked because, you know, Monica's mom loves some camera time. Now, what I was not shocked about was that Monica's mom clearly really tried to get a fucking seat on this cast trip. She really was like
a cast member.
I want to come on the cast trip and can I get a room with a mansion with a bathtub? Like she really thought she's gonna come on the fucking cast trip. Like, bitch.
And it's also it's so funny how like she skips the therapy with her daughter, but she was not about to skip that trip to Bermuda. Mm-hmm. She wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So basically where we're going is there was this really emotional, to me, heartbreaking scene where she gets a text, she storms off. It was very abrupt, very sudden. Meredith made it immediately about her and was like, I was in the middle of talking. What is she? Why is she storming out? Like she was just so upset. The thing is, if you listen to what people say in the background on this show, it's sometimes even funnier. Like when they came back in and Monica goes, oh, I left my shoes outside. And everyone starts being like, oh, and you hear Lisa Barlow in the background go, oh, do you need it?
I think my shoe is out there.
Do you need
your
it?
Shoe? No, I mentioned, I noticed that very much. She was like, do you need it? Like,
oh, do you need it?
Yes, I need it.
Like, that's such a Lisa Barlow question. Like, oh, do you need to go back and get it? Like, she's fucking barefoot. She's shoeless, homeless, not, she's shoeless, not homeless.
I have worked with the homeless. I have worked with the toothless.
Toothless, not toothless.
But yeah, so basically her family.
Oh, it was so sad.
Anymore. She posted receipts, by the way, because she's getting a lot of accusations online that she made this all up and her family didn't even know. She doesn't even have family or they didn't know. She's posted receipts. The producers of the show like met with them, mic'd them up even. Like it was a full-fledged thing. Annie, her mom did it. What do you think?
Okay, so that I'm actually glad you told me that. I did not know that part about the miking and everything because I was thinking to myself,
a lot of people are thinking what you're going to say.
Okay. I was thinking to myself, I don't
that
know.
Was gonna read.
Okay. I was thinking to myself, like, did they maybe just not want to be on the show?
Yes, I think that's been what a lot of people are saying and assuming. And then also, there are people that believe they never were gonna meet or that
that's not what I was gonna say. So you don't know, so don't act like you do know.
Well, what you did say is also something a lot of people are saying, which is okay. They just got cold feet. That's actually the first thing I thought too. I was like, Monica, how do you know for sure that your mom? But then I thought about how fucked up their relationship is and all the things her mom has fucking done, Annie. And I was like, would you really read? Is it really that fucking hard to believe? I could totally see her texting them and throwing a pity party and being like, Monica wouldn't let me come. And
I'm saying, like, you're arguing with me about something that I'm not arguing with you about. I do believe that her mom said that.
I'm not arguing with you.
Why am I getting so much backlash?
I'm just speaking on it the same way you are. We see each other. We good.
I see you. I see you. We good.
Okay.
We good. I see you.
We see each other.
We see each other. We good.
Let's move on.
So I do believe that that's a possibility for sure. I mean, I think the only thing that like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm up for anything. I think that in the language that she was using on the same day and also later in confessionals, it was very much of her saying though, I have a feeling that my mom has like, you know, I have a feeling, whatever. So she hasn't really confirmed any of that, which I think her feeling like all of ours is very valid. Her mom does seem like she would do that, especially after we found out that her mom was not invited to the cast trip that she clearly wanted to go on. And so, yeah, it sounds like something that her mom would probably do. But I also think it's a possibility that maybe even her mom was like, hey, you know, like this is this show, like she's on this show, like this is like what this show is all about. And that maybe they were like, oh wow, I don't know if I want to be a part of this, like
they're like, that's okay.
drama show and like do all this. I also am, I had to assume that there would be filming there because she invited Lisa. Like Lisa was not going to agree to going with her to her family if there was not going to be cameras there. Like, let's just be fucking for real for a minute.
I honestly am really touched by the way they've come together the last few episodes, although I know it's all about to go to shit for some reason.
Yeah.
But I do think we began.
It was a little too quick for me, actually.
So, you know, I said last week that they played a confessional of Monica admitting that she had never drank until like recently.
Yeah.
And so I think that that might come into play, like just drinking and elevated whatever. But then this episode, you know, it was Hurricane Monica. I love you, girl. You are my people's princess. But it was Hurricane Monica this episode between on the bus asking Heather about her daughter's sex life. That was a little awkward. I kind of got where she was trying to go with it. Like she would talk to her daughter about these things. But I think Heather felt very taken aback on camera, where she's probably doesn't want to talk. Like it's probably like a line that was crossed, like on camera.
I actually might kind of be on Monica's side a little bit.
Because switching.
I never switch. I talk about each instance and how I feel about each person. Okay. Listen, have you not listened to this podcast before? I talk about each instance in a vacuum and I speak my truth. Okay?
Okay.
I will be on your side one day and I'll be on Modesto's side the next day. Not often, but sometimes.
Well,
no, listen, let me finish. Okay. So I feel like Monica was trying to have a moment where she was like being like Samantha Jones or whatever. And then like, she was just asking. Now as Heather, I would of course not answer. Like, I'd be like, I'm not going to share that. Like, of course, Heather should not have shared. Monica probably should not have asked, but I don't think Monica was trying to like air someone's dirty laundry. She was just trying to be like conversational. And maybe she talks to her children like that. And she like likes to keep, like she said, like Kris Jenner is an example and whatever.
That was honestly iconic. She's like, Kris Jenner.
Yeah, it was. She was trying to be like hey.
Us. Like, she's all of us. We watch. Yeah. We watch Keeping Up.
Yeah. Like she was like, I feel like I think that she was being like, oh, as a mom, I think it's like healthy to like keep an open conversation about that in our household and blah, blah, blah. And I think that Heather actually feels the same way, by the way. But I just think that Heather was like, I'm not going to share this about my children on camera.
Well, right,
and like me, that's fine.
I think Heather's thing is like, yes, I do talk like that with my daughter, but not in front of a nation of viewers, not in front of you, not in front of all these ladies on the bus. And I think it took her aback. And I think that
I'm actually on both sides. Because I agree with like her response. I think that I actually don't agree with Monica asking, but I think that where Monica was coming from later was that Monica felt though after Heather got so like defensive and kind of mean about the question that then Monica started to feel that she was being like slut shamed, or I think more mom shamed, of being
little,
like,
yeah, I think she got
like,
a little.
I think that Heather almost like made her feel too bad about it, where it was like, okay, we get it. You don't have to answer. Don't answer. Definitely don't. I wouldn't either. But like, don't like, I think that Monica felt a little bit like she was getting chastised for her motherhood, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think Monica always has felt a little bit on defense with these ladies. It was really nice to see how they all came together when she was sobbing though. And like, they were all there for her, especially Lisa. And they turn the ship around. They go still celebrate the day on the beach. They play the Mary Fuck Kill game. And that is, they love their games. Okay. So they had two games in this episode. But like, so Monica once again, like saying more than one name. She's like, I'll fuck them. I love when it's like bleeping it out too. Like, it just makes it sound so much funnier. She keeps these ladies gagged. Lisa and Angie go off kind of on a little side talk, and Lisa delivers all the news to Angie. Angie's like, it's so funny. I can't take her seriously with this giant fucking visor on her face. But she's like, she's unleashing something that she could never put back in or whatever.
Yeah.
It all just builds and builds to a climax.
So at the pirate dinner. So I have to say something. Lisa, yet again, like, I'm with Lisa like 75% of the way. I get that you don't want to do a costume. Like, just like with the whole like Trixie thing, I was like, okay, I get that you don't want to like send your glam squad home, but then keep your glam squad and have them do drag queen makeup on you a little bit. Like, okay. Okay. Don't get into a Party City Halloween costume and use a Sharpie to put a mustache on. Totally fair. I wouldn't do it either. But could you have least like worn like a black pant with like a white shirt or something, or like worn black and red? Like, did you really
have to show hoop earrings, Annie?
Like, what?
She had hoop earrings. Okay, like it worked.
No, you can still. You don't have to be like in a costume. You can still like kind of be like.
He's always
like inconspicuously not being like, hey, I'm here and I'm super duper not on theme, super the opposite, blah, blah, blah. Like, could you just have worn like black and red or like black and white, like something? You wear black and white all the fucking time. Not today. Like, it was annoying to me.
She is the kind of person, even in the Mary Fuck Kill game, when she's like, and I'd fuck John or whatever. And they're like, you can't fucking do that. And she's like, yes, I can. When she was a kid. She was the kind of kid that, like, no matter what, you were like, hey, come over here. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And she would, like, run the other way, like, just because you told her to come to you. Like, this is very much a Lisa thing, I feel, where themes, it's like, she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm going to do it my way. And her way is just a hoop earring.
Or she would probably, like, show up to someone else's birthday party with, like, a birthday crown on. Like, she's that bitch. I have another example. My wedding was, all themed, all everyone wear black and or white. And I had, you know, this one friend whom I love, but she was like, can I just wear yellow? And I was like, no, you can't. And honestly, like, if I were to allow you have to wear yellow, you would have looked like a fucking asshole showing up being the only person that can. I'm like, you can still, by the way, I know this, stand out in a fashion world. You can stand out, show up, like, you know, fucking annihilate these other bitches fashion wise, but still be on theme. Like, don't wear a costume, but still be on theme and not stand out in a bad way where it's like you just show up looking like a bad sport. So if you would have shown up to my wedding in a hot pink dress, you'd look stupid. Like, you would have looked like an asshole.
She looked like a wench, though. I mean, I kind of felt like she fit the theme, and she had the gold chain on that she pointed out. Lisa Barlow is just camp. It's too funny. This dinner fight had everything. We start with Monica versus Heather. That was intense. Monica, once again, kind of coming in a little hot, being like, since I felt sex shamed earlier, let's go ahead and open this back up.
Right.
Heather lashed the fuck out and then unnecessarily whacked Whitney across the head.
Now we shut up. Like Whitney said to me last night.
Being like, shut the fuck up, just like Whitney over there told me to last night. Whitney's like, wait, why am I in it?
And you could have did it.
Then you fucking get Angie K being like, well, I'll take the heat off you guys. Meredith, that fucking Simi. She's like, I have to take a drink of my wine first because it's a lot of information.
I actually want to take the heat off you two. And so Meredith. You have yet again. Come for me.
I don't know what.
Be quiet.
You are referring
to. I'm about to tell you.
Okay, go on and tell me.
Gonna wet my whistle because it's kind of a lot of information.
And then, of course, Lisa Barlow chiming in at the last 11th hour when Meredith's like, I don't send fake DMs. I don't do that. And Lisa Barlow became activated. It really became Lisa Barlow's fight.
I believe you sent the DMs. You're lying about this. You're sending her the f***ing DMs about Angie, and it's enough. It's done. Meredith, it's done. You're done. We're sick of this. I'm so done with you doing this mean s*** to all of us. Stop it. You did it to Mary. You do it to Jen. You said before Jen even got arrested, she's going to have a RICO case, a racketeering case. What's going to come out about me next? Say it now, because I don't want f***ing DMs sent to Monica, Angie, Heather, and Whitney.
Okay, Lisa.
Is this a Meredith takedown? Is that what we're watching right now?
I don't know, but I hope so.
It's very, and there, this week was the week of dinner fights and of veteran takedown, because Marisol, there was a takedown from Marisol too and on Miami, which we will get into. But this fight was just incredible. Well, how many ounces or grams, whatever the term is, of Xanax do you think Meredith is on? Because she's just way too calm, cool, and collected during that entire.
I think that she microdoses them kind of like a halfy every few hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely giving that. I was really impressed once again with this week's episode. I feel like it really set up. I think we're in like our final episode of the trip, of the cast trip, at least next week or whenever they air again. So we're getting close to sort of whatever tears them apart from Monica. Annie, any other thoughts on Salt Lake?
No, that was great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's head over to the West Coast and talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Left field, but as far as I understand, and like I only do anesthesia, I don't know anything, but like narrow esophagus, that's a symptom of something. That's not a medical diagnosis. If you have like a stricture in your esophagus, all you do is chew your food more. If you really have a problem, you go get treatment for that. You don't eat food, and then your reason for not eating food is because you're like, I have a narrow esophagus, which like...
Hang on, I do eat food.
I didn't say you did.
You're not my doctor, what?
I get it, but you're saying things that don't make sense.
Don't yell at me.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to yell, but I'm just like, that
well,
was
kind of weird
to
say too.
I'm not, I don't mean
She's
to
not
yell
yelling at you.
Why am I having a doctor's appointment right now?
I think Sutton needs a little work here, and I brought my markers.
This week's episode of Beverly Hills was so fucking good yet again. They are fucking crushing it. I didn't believe they were at first, and I'm eating my words. It's so good. Sutton is kind of carrying.
Yes, always.
Like Sutton by Sutton, celebrating what? Was it 14 years?
I think it was like 2 years.
Oh. Yeah, why did I say 14? No,
four. I don't know. I think that we're both wrong. I think I lowballed. I think you highballed, but like it was just a little bit.
Yeah, and I love
it. I think because didn't we watch her opening party?
Yeah, we did. It was
and she has not been on for 14 seasons.
It was like 2020. Yeah, I definitely overshot there. Four. And even Kyle admitted that's really impressive on that strip.
It's very impressive, but I will say, okay, this is funny because when she started talking in her confessional, she was like, and I am so proud that I did it without anyone else's money, all myself, no help. And Reed, if you saw me, I went to my notebook. I was like, like I started making a note. Like, she did not do that with your own money, your ex-husband, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately stopped writing because the producer goes, well, didn't you use your ex-husband's money? And she was like, yeah, of course.
Like, she's like, obviously.
I was like, thank God someone fucking said it because I was on my notepad like, no fucking way, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but, you know, gotta love her. She doesn't have to work, as some of the girls pointed out, and she does. And that's pretty fucking cool. And her store seems like it's doing fine and people like her shit.
Yeah, but when you're like that rich though, like, do you really know? Because it's kind of like when Erica was doing shows, like when she has all Tom's money, like, is there really a revenue? Do you even pay attention to that? Because you just keep
you can afford the overhead.
You keep the lights on, but you don't know if you're actually making money. Like,
Yeah, and then Erica Jane was what, selling her residency tickets for like $14 a pop.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how she is going to, I think maybe even next episode, say, did you know you can buy a naked, what did she say? A naked bundle.
A naked bundle on OnlyFans of Denise Richards.
$5 naked bundle of Denise Richards on OnlyFans.
Did you know that it's $7 for a naked bundle of Denise Richards on OnlyFans?
And it's like, did you know you can get a $14 ticket to Erica Jane's residency tour? And
hey, I think that might be coming when Lent is over. I think we might still be in Lent.
I gave up fighting with y'all for Lent.
Yeah, like the next episode looks really funny when she's like, I wasn't trying to beef with Denise Richards, but okay. Like, she just like so quickly goes back to being a villain. It's so
I think that Easter is upon us.
It's so funny. Yeah, like
Christ has risen.
The resurrection of Erica Jane is about to be upon us. Like, she's about to fucking clock back in. I really enjoyed like Gandhi Erica though. It's been really fun to watch. This episode,
it gave other people a platform, I think, to be cunty. So I was like into it, but
it definitely did. This episode, we got Kim Richards. This was probably like the most important thing to me of the whole episode.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, she's fucked up. There's no way she's sober. And then I thought about it and I'm like, I think she's sober. And I think because like, she's so anxious.
Reed.
You don't think she's sober?
Reed, come on.
Okay. She definitely looks like someone who like she was like blinking a lot when people were talking to her. I feel like she has like social anxiety.
And it was a slow blink.
And she's fucking kooky. She's coloring now.
Oh, on the walls with crayons.
On the walls. She goes, she goes, I walk around with the crayons in my hand, just kind of draw whatever comes to mind. I was like, this sounds like the loony bit.
Wait, am I remembering this wrong? Or did it not just like after that, just like cut to Kyle being like, COVID was a rough time for Kim.
Yeah. And literally like they cut to photos of her walls and it looks like a children's like psychiatric ward, like with like,
yes, like cut to Kyle being like, COVID was a rough time for Kim, but you know, at least she had her artwork to get her through.
Kyle being like, the quote unquote sane one of like the sisters is just so
funny. She is when you meet them all. I mean, God.
I know. And Sutton is sort of like that third sister. Like she's just so kooky and crazy. Yeah. Now, Kyle shows up to this party with Kim. Obviously, Sutton isn't aware. The way Kim like tries to come on camera to like surprise, it's like she hasn't been on camera in so long. She like walks up, tries to hide behind Sutton, then she's like, oh, and she like runs away super, it's like she's camera shy. I don't know, I was fucking could not get enough of Kim Richards this episode.
It was kind of like a live like reenactment of that Getty Images picture that's going viral of her on the red carpet.
Yeah, it was literally that, like very much that.
Like now I'm not surprised that those pictures exist, because I was thinking to myself, Getty was being so nasty and so rude by posting that photo. But I'm like, now I'm looking at her being like, maybe that's just her vibe on the red carpet. She doesn't know how to act.
It was so nice to see her. We're getting, this seems like Beverly Hills, like greatest hits tour of a season. Like the Madonna Celebration tour. Like
The Eras Tour.
This is Beverly Hills' Eras Tour. This fucking like, opening, Kyle comes up. Okay, so then Sutton goes, I'm gonna get my drink, my first one of the night, by the way, is that okay? Like,
yeah,
right out the gate swinging at,
I don't blame her.
Sutton is not afraid of Kyle.
I don't fight, but finally though it took us long enough, like, but honestly I don't blame her for saying that, like that, like I get it. And you know what though, I actually thought it was really great of Kyle to specify. And, you know, people give Kyle a lot of shit, but like Kyle really does realize, and she's mentioned this before, that like talking about substance abuse around her when she has Kim as a sister, it does, like she does not take it lightly. And you could see that Kyle woke the fuck up in that moment and said, you know what? You're so right. I did not mean to insinuate that you had like an issue, because like, that's a serious accusation. I did not mean to go there. I was just talking about like that one night, and I am not saying you have a problem. And like, even if Sutton does whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not like Kyle really was being so genuine in that moment to like clarify, like, I'm not saying you have a drinking problem. I'm not saying you're an alcoholic. I did not mean that. I'm sorry if you took it that way. Like, I just meant that one night you were a little turned up.
Yeah, Kyle definitely like walked it back a little bit this episode, and it felt like for a minute like it was all going to be chill, but it just kind of like continued to spiral. We have to just go to the other side of the room though, because Dorit goes over there to talk to Crystal. The Dorit interrogation, that was so, Crystal finally like making me laugh. I love it. I love to see it.
I love it again, and she always does. You know that I love this. You might love it too, Reed, but like, I love vocabulary, and I love it when Crystal reads these bitches down on vocabulary, and she goes, whoa, I wasn't going around saying, whoa, and she goes, okay, sorry, you said that I was going around saying, and she goes, no, again, no, I said that you told me, and she was like, okay, fine, you said that I told you, like, she, like, Crystal was like, I'm not going to allow you to spew this narrative, like, use your words properly, just like when she was like with the whole violate thing where she was like, hey, listen, like, just because I felt violated doesn't mean that you violated me, and like, look up the fucking word. And she like read the definition, like, you know, it's everything was like, okay, like, she was like, I didn't say you were going around, I said you told me, and I told her, and she was like, okay, fine, so you told me, she told her that I told her, like, whatever, like It was just vocab.
Crystal has fucking clocked in. Dorit also is just playing. Dorit may not be like center stage, but she plays this role like as like a side character so well, because every episode Dorit is making me laugh. Like, she's got some sort of confessional, like one liner or an Erica impersonation or the interrogation. Yeah. If there's one thing they're going to do, they're going to give Dorit the blabbermouth edit. And they did.
Why are you going around telling Sutton that I'm talking?
Like, going around, you mean telling Sutton?
Why are you telling Sutton that I'm going around to everybody?
I'm not talking about around. I said you said it to me.
Well,
what's going on?
Sutton said.
Did I tell you that she said that Sutton's drinking?
I said, or Kyle had said.
Kyle
that
said.
She,
well, you both did.
You hear about it.
You said you and Kyle?
Yes!
You fear it.
You said you and Kyle.
You wish it never happens to you.
You are saying you and Kyle.
But today I'm on the other end of a Dorit interrogation.
You know, she's not hiding the fact that she likes to drink.
So I said she's a drinker.
I
like,
know
that's not a drinker.
And Sutton's always been a drinker.
I didn't say she likes to drink.
She's a drinker. I'm a Southern woman. We have a drink. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm bored.
And they did that again. And it was so funny. Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing about Dorit too is that, like, even like her confessionals have been really funny this year. I mean, like, even funnier than normal. I love that with the whole Erica impressions. But also the thing about Dorit is this, and this is why I think she's still here, because I think that there's been times where we've questioned why she's still here, because she brings the fashion, but she doesn't always bring the drama. But I think the thing with Dorit is that she incenses drama within people. Just her alone, not even intentionally, but like her going up to Denise and saying, I think your coat's on upside down. Like, I'm so serious. I think your coat
might be. They like want to get her. They like, they're waiting to whack Dorit.
What do you mean?
Like Denise was hammered, but she was like so quick to be like, don't you fuck it. Like, she just like, Dorit comes up and tries to do something like nice, and everyone's like, not now, Dorit, or fuck off.
No, she was being so nice. And then even when I think Dorit was really being nice too, when she was like, Denise, did you miss everybody? Did you miss the group? Did you miss being around the group? And she was, so genuine. And she goes, yeah, you know what? I did miss everyone. But Erica, I think I can say to you, why are you such a fucking bitch to me? It's like something about Dorit, maybe because she is so earnest, actually, like she kind of gives this platform for people to talk to her in a way, or talk around her in a way that feels comfortable, where they can just like express themselves. Because I don't think that Denise would have been that way towards, you know, Kyle, if she would have said your coat's upside down or whatever. You know what I mean? I think that there's something about Dorit that just feels earnest.
Yeah. Well, a lot
Weirdly enough, I'm saying that about Dorit. I don't know what's going on, but like, I'm just saying that.
Well, multiple girls from BravoCon said that Kyle and Dorit were like the most unfriendly. And even Crystal kind of like confirmed it, saying that like she was embarrassed on behalf of some of her castmates that were like not nice to other people.
And I heard that was about Sutton, maybe.
Like, no, like it was like Alexia and Marisol from Miami said it. They basically said it. They said it was Beverly Hills Girls. And then when Andy pressed on Watch What Happens, they were like, not Garcelle, not Sutton, not they basically named everyone except Dorit and Kyle. Like, it was very, very obvious. I've heard there was someone else that said the same thing. So I think Dorit and Kyle are a little bit mean girl. I think Kyle definitely is a Regina George to her core. I think Dorit is her new like Gretchen Wieners. Like, Dorit and Kyle are inseparable. I think we're going to start to see that fissure this season, obviously, with the trailer and whatnot. But yeah.
But they're just friends, though. Like, sometimes it's hard when they're just actual friends, and it's hard to break into that kind of dynamic when they're like legitimately friends. Like, I think their friendship is actually way more genuine than a lot of people's friendships. And so it's hard to talk to people like that when they're like best friends. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when Modesto and I are out, we were at Pride and someone was trying to talk to us and like break into our friend group. And Modesto was like, we're not going out with this guy. We don't know him.
Like, yeah. No new friends.
We're good.
Some people on the cast do have a new friend, though. Let's talk about the scene with Kyle on FaceTime with, what's her name? Morgan. She stopped me. The way that she's, like, teasing her, and they're, like, it's Kyle is so in love. In her confessional, she's like, my friendship with Morgan is unlike any other. Like, she's always roasting me. And yeah. I'm like, that's literally what a what your boyfriend, that's what Mo probably used to do when you guys were like young and in love. Like,
me and Mo? Oh, sorry.
Mauricio. Kyle and Mauricio. Yes, you and Mo. I'm sure you guys roasted each other too. But yeah, it just like, it's very clear. Like, this is her girlfriend.
My gosh, it's crazy. I mean, she's acting like it's the new Teddy. Like, because, you know, she was always like vying for Teddy to be on the show and having unnecessary FaceTimes with Teddy. And now she's inviting Morgan to these filming things. It's like, can you just leave her off the screen? I'm good without her.
Yeah, Kyle always has like a sidekick. Also, this Anna Marie Wiley girl who is for some reason still on our screens.
But she's only at 8.5. So why is she still here?
Okay, so she's obviously also one of Kyle's sidekicks and is trying to make something of this fight with Sutton. You can sit your ass down. You're a newbie. But I think it was so cringe and embarrassing how she basically posted her own L on television and was like, my husband always tells me you're not a 10 in looks. You're not a 10 in intelligence. You're not a 10 in talent. But, you know, you're a solid 8.5 across everything. She's like, I don't think a lot of people can say that.
He's like, you're not a 10 in looks. You're not a 10 as an athlete. You're not a 10 in brains. He's like, but you are a solid 8.5 at everything you do. And he's like, you know, not a lot of people can say that.
I kind of understood what he was maybe like trying to say. But like being like, hey, like if you're really solid at like all these things across the board, like you're not really good at one thing and really bad at one thing, you're like mostly like A minus at all these things. That's kind of cool. But I think that a husband should at least tell you you're a 10 about at least one thing. Like, her body is for sure a 10. And like, I'm so sorry, but I don't care if you're lying. Oh, wait. Also,
I want to be lied to. I want to be, if you 8.5 to me is like a one. Like, you should, if you're married to me, you better not be saying anything less than two digits.
Okay. I like when my husband's like, hey, listen.
You like when he calls you an ugly bitch?
No, he says, you know what? He goes, you know what? You're a 9.5. Margot Robbie's a 10. I'm like, thank you so much for only putting a 0.5 between me and Margot Robbie. That is such a fucking lie, but thank you.
It's a little white lie. It's only 0.5, you know?
It's a lot more than 0.5, you guys. Listen, I'm hot, but I'm not Margot Robbie hot. Let's be real. But he always does that. He'll be like, of course, I'll be watching a TV show with him. I'd be like, that girl is so fucking hot. And he's like, not as hot as you. And I'm like, don't lie. And he's like, I'm serious. I don't see the difference. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I do think that's a great husband material, though. You know, he's a keeper for that for sure.
Yeah. Zach, if you're listening, we know you love my husband.
So, yeah, the only other thing I really had for this episode, obviously, it was super tense at Sutton's party. Lots of drama. And Anna Marie Wiley trying really hard. I don't know why I always, why do I always say her first and last name, by the way? I can't. It's like Angie K. I can't say.
That was her choice.
I can't say Anna Marie. I say Anna Marie Wiley. Like, I think
that was her choice, though, to do that. So that's on her.
That's on her. Dorit has a real esophagus disorder, y'all.
Sutton
has a real esophagus disorder, and my friend is a doctor, and he told me while we watched this episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, he told me that yes, esophagus elongation is in fact a medical diagnosis. So Miss Sutton Strack, you've indicated, Brandy, you've indicated. I just had two accents shift. My accent shifted in real time.
It's true, yeah. But they couldn't have elongated her torso while they were at it.
Oh, wow. Listen, we are not coming for Miss Sutton anymore. She's under fire and we need to defend her. She is truly making this season entertaining, in my opinion. I think Sutton is the MVP alongside Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this week's episode, Annie?
No.
Well, with that, we'll go get into a brief recap of The Real Housewives of Miami.
Go, 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 go. I'm making the journey. this group needs to move forward. And I feel you are the reason why we cannot move forward.
Me?
Well,
I move forward.
You found that rumor about Terry being not married. But then how come when at the engagement party, Alexia was taking all the heat, you were sitting there not defending her. You fed her the information.
He's married. The guy's married. Maybe they haven't updated the website yet. Oh, yeah. Okay, Marisa. Yeah.
What Julia is saying is makes a lot of sense, and you and I have had that discussion. Mm-hmm. The fact that you do say things about different people in the group, and then you don't own up to it, and then I'm the one that gets
the heat for it. I never said that. I didn't say that. I told you that.
And then right now you just want to like hash it, and believe me, I wanted to, because it's very uncomfortable for me as well.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Rewind that button. What the hell had happened?
You do say things about different people in the group, and then you don't own up to it.
I mean, this is a first. You rarely see, like, Alexia contradict Marisol.
You have to have the person's back and stick up for the person.
When the pot gets really hot, you're the first to leave.
Just like it was a Meredith takedown at the Salt Lake cast trip dinner this episode, Miami had the same situation going on in Palm Beach. Palm Beach? What are you doing in Palm Beach? With Marisol. It was definitely a Marisol takedown. Even Alexia turned on her number one ally, and yeah. Marisol and Adriana kind of made up. So a lot going on, in the words of Mary Cosby.
I really enjoyed the dynamics shifting over there. That 30-minute drive to Palm Beach really made a big difference. Oh my gosh. Okay.
It was really funny to watch them all pile into one car.
Yeah. No, the dynamics are shifting in a really great way. Now, Miami always does this really well, though. Like, they always have a good kind of dynamic shift where it's like, okay, you guys are friends. You guys are kind of friends. You don't like her, but blah, blah, blah. There aren't like as specific always allies. That being said, I mean, one thing that we could always count on in the past was Marisol hating Adriana and vice versa. And, Alexia and Marisol being tied together very strongly. And so this is the kind of the first time we've seen that shakeup really happen. I am shocked by it. And I also have a theory, conspiracy theory, perhaps. An episode or two ago saw Alexia hang out with, Nicole, you know, like a double date, right?
Yeah.
And then that was nice, right? And then we also in this episode at the beginning got a moment with Marisol and Nicole kind of making up. I'm feeling like that somehow Marisol and Alexia like knew this was coming with their friendship and like knew that they were going to be kind of like having some beef coming up, and they were purposely trying to get to Nicole first and like get this other ally, like make friends with everyone else. Because Marisol in the past could always just be a bitch to everyone and always know, no matter what, Alexia has my back. And I feel like she's realizing that's not the case anymore. And so she has to be nice to other people as well. And like something's shifted. And I think it shifted sooner. I don't know what happened, but I think that like they had known this was coming.
What happened between them on the Ultimate Girls Trip season? That season was such a flop. I don't remember a lot. Did they have like a disagreement? I feel like at one point they made,
I don't remember specifically, but they were mostly good, but they did have some moments, and I think they roomed together and they did have a couple moments where this has been coming on for a while where Marisol will be like, hey, back me up, bro. Por favor, back me up, bro. Mm-hmm. And like every once in a while, Alexia will be like, no, you know what? Like you have to dig your own grave. Like I'm not going to always just be there to be your fucking sidekick. And so this has kind of been coming on for a little while, I think. And she said it like earlier in the season too. I think that this has just been coming on where Alexia does not want to be her sidekick anymore. She wants Marisol to be her sidekick.
I always kind of viewed Marisol as Alexia's sidekick, but
I only think that because she's a friend.
Yeah, that's
true. You really
true.
Watch the dynamic. Actually, Marisol thinks that she is the HBIC, and she kind of has been, and Alexia is always coming to her defense.
Yeah, Alexia is sort of like her attack dog, I guess. Like, Alexia will fight with anybody. Yep. God bless her. Not a brain cell operating up there in her noggin, and we love her for it. This episode saw some like some things be mended, especially at this dinner table.
I loved it.
Marisol and Adriana kind of like somewhat bury the hatchet. And then we also had Larsa and Gertie sort of like, even though Larsa continued to be like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Gertie was clearly so past like holding on to it.
Yeah, I don't believe that part of it actually at all.
I think we'll see more between that. Marisol and Nicole, like you mentioned, like
that was nice.
There was honestly a lot of like bonding and conflict resolution. I just have to say how much I love Kiki. The dildo.
I love her. The dildo.
And the way that like she just says to Lisa at the dinner table, like, you talk way too much about Lenny. Lenny.
It's so true though. It's bad.
Yeah, it is really bad. And I think
I get it.
Well, yes. Lisa is definitely like, what did one of them say? That she's in a very delicate position right now and probably can't handle them telling her, like, we think you talk too much about him.
Yeah. I get it. She's going through a really rough time. I think it's all down to money though, honestly. I think that she would have been down to stay in this marriage forever, knowing that he was cheating and having him step out and having him treat her horribly if she could just keep the house and the money and keep their family together. I don't think that she would have cared. I think that the issue for her is that he's actually leaving. I think that she's the type of person that would be like, he'd be like, hey, I cheated on you. And she'd be like, oh, I'm mad, but it's okay. I'll take you back. And he was like, no. I don't want you to take me back. I'm going to leave. And she was like, no, like she wants the money. She wants the house. She wants all the things. She wants the 10K Instacart orders. Okay.
Okay. What the fuck are you buying on Instacart? I love how Larsa's the one, the last episode being like, maybe perhaps a budget. Like perhaps you should get something smaller.
In her Mugler outfit. Yes. Actually, honestly, I think a 10K Instacart in just 1 month, that's reasonable to me.
Well, yes. If, you know, we're getting DoorDash. I think.
No, it's Target.
She got the Sephora. I mean, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's Instacart. It goes to every store. I get it from Target and I would get furniture, you know, blankets, makeup, everything from Target. Every month, my husband said 10K on Shipt. What the fuck?
There were so many like girls trips this week. We had Ultimate Girls Trip Air. The Potomac ladies are in Austin. Miami ladies are in Palm Beach. The Salt Lake ladies are in Bermuda. The only ladies not on a trip are the Beverly Hills ladies. There was also like dinner fights and takedowns, like marriage.
They're on a different kind of trip.
They're on a different kind of trip. That's very true. And Denise is on a trip.
Oh yes.
Denise is on an ultimate girls trip. We will tell like literally.
An ultimate girl trip.
Yeah, she's definitely on an ultimate trip. I saw a lot of similarities in the shows this week. Like definitely. Yeah. Through that, we talked about the games. Like, everyone loves their games. I thought it was really cute that Lisa had them doing, like, a scavenger hunt together. And that's sort of what caused some of that bonding. But
that was actually a heartfelt game. It was nice.
Yeah, like, this episode didn't have a ton, to be honest. Especially when you compare it to Beverly Hills and Salt Lake. But it's so much fun to watch. And you can just sort of kick your feet back. And I love these ladies. Just them cramming in the car on the highway and backing up the highway. You see all those cars. You couldn't make me hate these ladies. Julia, you know what? I'm sorry I ever spoke dirt on your name. Threw dirt on your name. I mean, Julia is kind of clocking in. And even like at the dinner, sort of like accusing Marisol of trying to end Adriana. She talking about someone who's not afraid, you know?
Well, the only thing that bothered me was that she goes, we have to move forward. And then she continued to bring up something that happened last season.
She's like, we have to move forward, but until then, we're going to stay on this topic.
You flashback to a year ago.
And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about just the reason they're on this girls trip, this cast trip. Lisa is launching a fragrance. They're like, does Lenny know about the fragrance? She's like, no, he doesn't. The way that she's getting her home paid for, half by Jody, half by Lenny, the way that Lenny is paying for her to launch a fragrance line that he doesn't know about.
I love it.
Lisa Hochstein, you are an icon, a legend, and one of my favorites on Miami. Any other Miami thoughts?
Just one thing. I don't know why those women in the band were acting like it was so weird to be licking ass.
Yeah, okay. There's been ass-eating convos on a lot of shows lately, and I'm...
Grow up. We all had our ass licked. Come on.
Stand up. Some of you are brave enough to come forward. I need more. Come forward.
Get your ass eaten. Come on. It's not that weird. It's not that weird at all.
It's 2024, goddammit. with that, let's head over for a very brief discussion on The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Are you serious?
After you've
trashed me on social media incessantly, really?
Do you know what I've gone through? I have gone through torture.
Well, so have I.
But at my expense? No, Robin, actually, yes, when you're Robin, being tortured expense,
because of you hiding your truth.
If I didn't tell my mama what happened, why the would I walk in front of any of y'all?
Robin, you need to be accountable.
What are you gonna do? You wanna beat me up or something? What do you want to do? Hold me accountable. I'm here. I'm here.
I want you to hold yourself accountable.
Hold me accountable.
You lied the entire year, but you asked all of us to be accountable.
I should be right.
You know what? This outfit reminds me of those women in a polygamy camp. And they're going to stand up for their man. Only thing Robin was missing was her bonnet.
Warren is a good man. You just don't know. List me. Ask me anything about Juan. You're the whole world know about Juan. We don't need to ask you about Juan. Well, set your ass down and get a bonnet.
Okay, so we've been kind of like trashing Potomac week after week on this show, and obviously we're not giving it a ton of review time. However, I will say this episode was their best. Annie, do you agree?
No.
Of the season.
Well, yeah, sure. It's the best of the season. I really thought you were going to say that we've been trashing Potomac and it doesn't end here.
Like, well, we're certainly not going to give them more stage time. They need to earn that back.
No, it was definitely, oh God, it's so sad to think about it, but you're right. It was the best of this season so far. Yikes. What does that say? But yeah, you're right. It was the best one of this season and probably, I don't know. It's rough out here, guys. I will say, I think the whole, crackhead comment at the top of the episode got too much wind. People say that it's a phrase. You go, oh, you crackhead, like you're
What, you know, housewives love to be like, bitch, you just called me a bitch, but every one of them would be like, bitch, you look good. It's like so funny.
Someone you don't like
calls you bitch, yeah. Even if it's harmless, you're like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Every housewife does this. It's so funny. Yeah, so these ladies, you know, this is probably the lamest cast trip of all the cast trips going on right now, although I don't think Palm Beach is much farther ahead, but, well, actually, no. Let me reverse that. I think I'd rather be in Austin than be in Palm Beach. I don't know.
What? Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, out of, you know, so the Miami girls are in Palm Beach.
You mean, like, location-wise?
Yeah, like, the lamest cast trip location-wise.
Oh, I was going to say, like, drama-wise.
You have Bermuda, girl, other people.
Palm Beach.
The Roni ladies went to fucking Marrakesh. Like,
yeah. No, I thought that you were saying like content wise, this is the lamest one for sure.
Oh, for sure. I was thinking about it, and it's a big part of it is just that, like, a lot of the cast members this season so far don't really seem to have much of a storyline. So you've got a lot of them reacting to like a few people's storylines. So Robin Dixon, God don't bless her. She's got some form of a storyline going on, at least
the biggest storyline ever that we don't care about.
We don't care. And Ashley Darby, love her to death, doesn't have anything going on. Candace,
Peyton pussies.
The only thing Candace really has going on is she's still residual beef with Giselle. Giselle doesn't really have anything going on. When has she ever? Karen, God love her. Karen doesn't really have anything going on. Her thing going on is being shady as hell and being hilarious at it constantly, week after week, to Robin. It's so fucking funny. Mia has sort of has a storyline, like her and Gordon are poor now. Wendy, I guess her storyline is that her mom put NECA in a shrine. It's a very
That's more of NECA's storyline, though, honestly, when you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, they're all, it's a few of them are reacting to each other, but for the most part, there's really, like, not a lot happening here. And I think that's sort of what we keep coming back to week after week when we talk about it. But I do feel like this episode started to show a little bit of promise. The sex talk, you know, you kind of talked about the ass eating. They talked about, like, who swallows. That was kind of funny. Karen had some really funny commentary there. And that's really, like, oh, no, I did have something else to say. I'm not done whacking Robin.
Okay.
What they finally start talking about the lawsuit with the basketball team where Juan was a coach.
Okay, I actually felt bad for her in that moment. Not the other stuff.
She was like, Juan deletes everything from his phone. I don't know.
Well, two different things. Okay, so the thing with at the beginning with her saying that about him deleting everything, you guys. The zoom in on everyone's faces when she said he just deletes everything. He's just weird like that. They zoomed on every woman's face.
That.
And every woman's face was like wide eyed as fuck. Like, I think almost some people just like looked at the camera and were like, is she serious right now? Like, she needs to be studied, because I have known people that have shady like partners that like they are clearly shady, but like they'll be like suspicious and paranoid and be like, not that they're not paranoid, but they make themselves feel paranoid because they'll be like, oh my gosh, I saw this weird text on his phone. And then like, he was gone for like 2 days. And then like, oh my gosh. And then like, I was so mad. And then, but then he said this and explained it away this way. And so now I'm not mad anymore. And she just never got mad. She's just like, oh yeah. I mean, he was
100% don't care.
Yeah, she really doesn't about anything in her relationship, like in her marriage. And it's like, it's weird. She's crazy. I don't know what's going on. It's so bizarre. But I just loved like everyone's faces when they were saying like that, when she was saying that he deletes everything. And they were all just like, I think every woman's face got a zoom in. Like, it was just like, uh-uh. And I looked into their eyes and I said, I don't believe it either, bitch. It's crazy. Yeah. And I mean, but I think at the end, though, when she was crying, that's when I felt for her, because she does love one. I don't know why, but she does.
And I know why. He's fine as hell. I'd love him too. He could cheat on me. Yeah. I'd say, baby, delete those texts. I don't need to look.
Eat my ass any day. Yeah. So I think, though, that like Candace called her out, had a moment. I think Candace almost like misunderstood what she was saying and like went off, whatever. In the car, though, you could tell that when Robin started crying, Candace felt bad.
Yeah, like our friends.
And I felt bad for Robin in that moment too, because I think that Robin was like, wait a minute, like, are you trying to insinuate that I had something to do with my husband getting all of this fucking horrible shit happening to him with his job and everything? Like, then that's when she really felt, which actually is disgusting when I think about it, because what really gets her sad is thinking that she hurt Juan by her words. That's fucked up. Mm-mm. I don't feel good. I don't feel good about what she's going through. I think she's like
a doormat.
Maybe being brainwashed, perhaps. It's just wild.
I think that she's in a prison of her own making. And as the Grand Dame said, Robin will lie all day. For one, yeah. She'll even lie on Sunday.
She wants enjoyment.
We deserve better and we want better for our ladies, but I was more entertained this week. And I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what else is to come for the ladies of Potomac. Maybe even if it's the season after this. Any final thoughts on Potomac, Annie?
Nope.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of It's About Bravo this week. We are taking some time off for the holidays, but we've got some super exciting stuff coming up for you guys. A really fun game and a little bit of an awards looking back on the year. These episodes coming to you in the next week, week and a half. Have a great holiday. You know where to find us, About_Bravo. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and on our Patreon. More bonus episodes coming soon. Me and Annie are talking about Drag Race next week because she's on her Drag Race binge.
I'm so excited. And also, full circle moment, last night at the Madonna show, Bob the Drag Queen was in her show, like as a
exactly
thing. So yes, I can't wait to talk about it.
Exactly. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you really soon.
Bye.